that's going to the Levi of Avraham Katz, Zechor Levracha. The funeral is going to be in Kew Garden Hills in Queens. There's a bus that's leaving at 1 o'clock, and they told me that it's boarding at 10 to 1. I'm not sure, so we'll try to make sure that anybody who has the opportunity is really able to go. One of the things that's very unusual about our yeshiva is really the range of Talmidei Chachamim, who developed here, who taught here, different people, different personalities, people from different eras, people of different orientations, and it really, you really see how that can add, to the rich tapestry of a yeshiva. And Rabbi Katz really was one of those people. I don't know how many people here really knew him. I used to drive with him a lot since he lived in Queens. So I used to, drive, not with him so much, I used to drive him actually a lot in the last number of years. And he was just a very exceptional person. He was a person who, had a background of Europe and Eretz Yisrael. And his father was the famed Rav Reuven Katz of Petach Tikva. And, he was a person who knew all the Gedolim, and, they'd all come and eaten in his house, and just it was, to hear him speak about it and talk about it, and, gave you a sense of continuity. And he was also a person really of great, diverse interests, very much loved Eretz Yisrael, was very much involved in the current events and the news, and was a real Klal Yisrael person. At the same time, a person who spent all of his life really in Torah, in the classical yeshiva sense. That was his background and what he did, and also in scholarship. He put out a perush on Rabbeinu Miuchas, Rabbeinu Miuchas al Torah. Some question whether Rabbeinu Miuchas is a late Perush or an early Perush. He was always of the opinion that it was like a Byzantine early Perush, which makes it very, very important, and he was very proud of the work that he did. He put out several Svarim on Rabbeinu Miuchas. Vayikra was the last one that he did, but Vayikra, and he was instrumental in Shemos. Somebody else did Shemos, but he always told me that he really gave the person the manuscript and did most of the work, but he was very, just a very exceptional person, and it's chaval al da'abdin v'lo mishtak, and you don't really see people of that breadth as much as we should, and people who had those kind of connections with the previous dar. So anybody who can who can come to the Levaya, for some reason they're having it in Queens, I don't know why, it's made more sense to me and to other people that it should have been here. He really taught here for, I think, over 60 years, if that's possible. And he also taught Tanakh for many years. I remember when I was in the college, Katz was also teaching Bible on Thursdays. So, but people can come. It's really, I think, a Kavod HaTorah. And, as I say, Chaval da'avn v'lo mishnach, and you don't replace people like that. A big yeshiva with the kind of history that we have, continues to develop. And new people come in, and that's the way it should be. But one has nothing to do with the other. It's still yeshiva is what it is because of its past and because of its planning for the future. And the people like Rav Katz and that whole generation of Ranim really made exceptionally important contributions to Jewish life in America, to Jewish life. Period. And we should appreciate that. We should remember it. Okay. What we want to do today, in the time that we have at least, is discuss the relationship between Dov Shein Miskavin and Malach Shein Tzricha L'Tuva. What we did yesterday was try to explain that there are different elements in Dov Shein Miskavin, and that the focus, whether or not the primary focus is Psik Reisha D'lo Nichalei, which we'll get back to when we discuss Psik Reisha. That's a rather remarkable thing. In other words, you have a full range of views. You have Rishonim, who clearly have the opinion that Psik Reisha D'lo Nichalei is not a Dovr Sheinu Miskavein at all. That's certainly a major view in the Balei Tosas. And then you have other Rishonim, like the view projected by the Rav Yehuda, and to you know, to a different extent by the shields us if the Nitziv is right, to think that not only is Tik Reshit Lo Nichalei Davar Sheinu Miskaven, but it is the Davar Sheinu Miskaven. That's quite a range. If there are two dinim, Davar Sheinu Miskaven of Tik Reshit Lo Nichalei and Davar Sheinu Miskaven of Safek, and if there are, which one of these is the predominant one in defining the integrated whole, or whether that there aren't two completely different ideas of Davar Sheinu Miskaven. These are the issues that we've been exploring. In addition to that, we also noted yesterday the question whether Davar Sheinu Miskaven focuses on Yediyah, which one can only say if it isn't in the case of Sekreisha, or on the question of Ratzon, and how that fits into the larger picture of Melechus Machsheves, as well as other Klalim and Kol HaTorah Kula, about Chisronos in Kavana. That's what we've been discussing. A lot of that has to do with the relationship between Davar Sheinu Miskaven and Melachos Sheinu Tzricha L'Gufa, which we want to pin down a little bit more. Even if we didn't have any Gemara, which required attention, this would be a question that we would want to raise. That, of course, because at minimum we want to know whether it's a coincidence that it's Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon who debate Davar Sheinu Miskaven, and it's Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon who debate Melachos Sheinu Tzricha L'Gufa. Those people who are generally skeptical about coincidences, you know, would at least, you know, raise an eyebrow, you know, when it comes to, you know, when you realize that we're dealing with the same Tanoim. Of course, in light of the Gemara, excuse me, on Mem Beis Amud Aleph, and the parallel Gemara on Zvachim, Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph, this becomes more than just a matter of speculation, right? It becomes a question of how to understand the Havamina, and after the Havamina, of the Maskana. Which Gemara am I referring to, Dani? The Gemara in Shabbos and Zvachim? Do you have it there? Either one. Let's take Shabbos first. It's easier a little bit. That's, of course, the sugya in. Which one of the sugyas? Yeah, the sugya in Kira. Kira is sugya in Pina Mechem Shepino. So, very important sugya. Lo yitein l'toko tzonein. Right? And the Gemara has a whole discussion whether or not we're talking about Mitzarev. Correct? Then towards the bottom, go ahead.
Amarav lo shan el shir lahashir, vashir l'tzarif aser. Ishmael amarav kiri shir l'tzarif mutter.
Okay, good. So you have a machlokas. Machlokas revolves around the question of Davar Sheinu Miskaven, correct?
Okay.
Then go ahead. Then the Gemara says, then the key line.
Memra, the Shmuel kiri Shimon svirlei. Pamar Shmuel machavim gachelet shel matecha.
Nami? Question mark.
Nami. So the Davar Sheinu Miskaven, Savala Kavi Shimon, the Melachos Sheinu Tzricha L'Gufa, Savala Kavi Yehuda.
Okay. So this is the, you can read one more line, you might as well, just go ahead.
Amarvina Halacha, Pilka, Kos, Rishis Harabim, Malifa, Papos, and Dalamos.
Okay, so basically, what happened in this Gemara, if you have to sum it up? Havamina was
that someone helped like Rabbi Shimon across the board.
That there's a link between Ein Miskave and Ein Tzricha L'Gufa, and the Maskana.
Be able to split between them.
You're able to split between them. But being able to split between them doesn't mean that we've completely rejected that there might be a link between them. Right, we've rejected that the link is incontrovertible, right? But we haven't necessarily said that there's no connection. So what needs to be understood here is the Havamina and the Maskana. How serious is the Havamina? That there is a connection between these two things. And how serious is the rejection of the Maskana? That's the question. Then you have a parallel Gemara in Zvachim. You have that with you? Right, similar Gemara. Gemara in Sadi Beis Amud Aleph. Gemara says, Gemara in Sadi Aleph Amud Beis. Right, links the issue to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Gemara is talking about Mizalef Al Gabe Ha'ishim. Right? Lokasha Harab Yehuda Harab Shimon. Remember, then the Gemara says, remember the Shmuel Karab Shimon. Same Gemara. V'amar Shmuel Mechavim Gachela Shal Matechas Mishterab Mishul Shal Ezuka Barabim. Aval lo gachela shalaitz, visok at the Krav Shimon, if the gachela shalaitz nami. And again, the Gemara answers, Dov Shinim is Gavin Sava Krav Shimon, locha shetzricha gufa, Sava lake, Kirav Yehuda. What's the difference between the two Gemaras? Is there a difference between the two Gemaras? Michael? What? In Zvachim? Okay. Elichai? Meaning? To, right. So in that sense, which Gemara is more Mechudash? Gemara in Zvachim. And who makes that point? Tosas. Right? Tosas in...
Yes,
Tosas in Shabbos or Tosas in Zvachim?
Definitely Zvachim.
We'll get to Shabbos in a minute, right. But Tosas in Zvachim definitely makes that point. Right? So the first thing to note is in Rishonim, which is the difficulty, the Havamina or the Maskana? And how do we understand the Havamina and the Maskana? What we're really looking forward, you know, to figuring out here is whether or not there really is a substantive link at all. So the you have two Gemaras, and that's one issue. We'll just list them first. Secondly, you have the Gemara in Krisus. And Gemara in Krisus, as we already have discussed, Avi, what's the issue with the Gemara in Krisus? Chafa Menalev?
Gemara in Krisus, whether it's discussing
Kibur Yishu,
the link, or the Gemara in Krisus.
Yeah, and that's really, but yeah, those are already the two answers. But just in terms of the background, you have a Gemara in Krisus, Chafa Menalev, which says that there's a machlokas about. Excellent. Kibui and Havara. And the Gemara describes the Machlokas in terms of Darshan and Miskavein. And yet, the Rishonim
Yonichayev once,
which means that but this way, the Rishonim are bothered by this Gemara being Darshan and Miskavein, and therefore they decide that Rishonim and Akronim decide that the Gemara is Lavdafka, that it actually refers to something else. Either it refers to Malach Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa, we'll read it inside in a minute, that's the Bali Tosas, or that can't work according to the Rambam, since the Rambam Paskins Malach Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa is Chayiv, so it's got to be that it refers to, if you say that it isn't Kipshuto, Psikresha D'lo Nichale. So the first point is the Gemara in Zvachim and Shabbos Men Beis, where the Gemara itself has a Havamina to link Enem Miskavein and Enem Tzvicha L'Gufa, that's one issue. And issue number two is a Gemara which, on the face of it, deals with Eino Miskavein, but with according to the rereading, for very good reasons, not frivolous rereading, the very serious, justifiable rereading of the Rishonim ends up that an Eino Miskavein Kipshuto turns into Eino Tzricha L'Gufa according to Bali Tosas, or Psikresha de lo nichale, according to other Rishonim. So that's Gemara number two. Then, in addition to that, there are some specific cases where it's an open question, or it seems to be a problem, whether to define a particular case as Ein Tzricha L'Gufa or as Eino Miskavein. Where do you have that? Shlomo? And these three form a certain pattern, obviously. That's you bring them together. A, the one Gemara that links them, and then dislinks them, disconnects them. B, the Gemara that speaks about Eina Miskavin that other Rishonim say refers to Ein Tzricha L'Gufa. C, there are a few cases which may be the opposite of that phenomenon. Not where the Gemara calls it Eina Miskavin, but the Rishonim say it's Ein Tzricha L'Gufa, but Shlomo? So this example, which case, for example? What issues? Cases where, either describe the cases or the phenomenon or both. Yeah, where the Gemara calls something Ein Tzricha Legufa, and it's not sustainable in the Rishonim, and it ends up that the Rishonim are going to argue, or some of the Achronim are going to argue, that it isn't Ein Tzricha Legufa at all, it's really Eino Miskavig. That would be the parallel opposite of Krisus Chafa Medalef. Where do you have such a case, or such cases? Krisus Chafa Medalef is one side, and the exact opposite parallel is, which cases? Not in Kulam, but according to some. Yoshua? Exactly. Mapis Mursa, Tzad Zvi, and what was the other one? Tzad Nakash. Shaloya Zikenu, right? Or Shaloya Zikenu. So what happens there? The Gemara calls those cases, which Gemara? Kuv Zayin Amud Aleph and Amud Beis, right? You read it just very quickly, if you don't mind. Right, the Sugya in Kuf Zayin also appears in Ksuvis, which may be what Shlomo meant, right? Is that what you're referring to? Okay. Right, it appears here on Dav Gimel in Shabbos, but a Gimel on Shabbos doesn't say Melech Shem Tzricha L'Gufa, but here on Dav Zayin, what do you have? What? Kuv Zayin Amud Aleph, you have a Mapas Mursa B'Shabbos Amasa Sopeh Chayiv Mehotzim Min Aleicha Patur, right? Machat Shal Yad Lipolos HaKotz, and so on. But you don't have any indication what it's based on. But in Kuv Zayin Amud Beis, which is what you said, I think. Correct. Go ahead. Go ahead. Okay, keep going. Okay, so basically this Gemara says explicitly on Kuv Zayin Amud Beis that Mapas Mursa, Tzad Nachash, Tzad Zvi are cases of Melech Shein Tzricha LeGufa. Now that's fine. Again, we're not looking for trouble. We weren't looking for trouble in Croesus either, right? I mean, it just found us. Okay. We seem to be a magnet for these kind of problems. Not just us. The Gemara and the Rishonim. So here too, I mean, we don't want to rock the boat for no reason. There's plenty of other issues to catch our attention. We would have been very happy that the Mapas Mursa should be left, as a Malacha Sheina Tzricha L'Gufa, which is the only thing that the Gemara ever calls it when it calls it anything specific. Correct? However, what's the problem, Yoshua? Yeah. There's a stira in Shmuel. Who notes it? Who notes the stira in Shmuel? Aside from yourself. Is very astute. Anybody before you? You don't know? Yoni? Well, Reb Chaim does, but he comes to it a little later than some of the people who noted it earlier. But Reb Chaim definitely notes it, but he notes it not for Shmuel, but for the Rambam. The Rambam paskins in Perek Yud Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Yud Zayin and Mapas Mursa. And then halacha chaf beis or chaf gimel, also tzad nachash tzad tzvi. The Rambam paskins yoni in all cases mutter. Even though the Rambam in Perek Aleph Pilchos Shabbos paskins the malacha shein tzricha legufa is chayiv, and all the nosa kela mask based on the Gemara, the Rambam should have paskined chayiv. Certainly shouldn't have paskined mutter. As for Yoshua's point about the stira in Shmuel, is it who? The Magen Mishnah is late to the game too, but who really asked the question the earliest that we know of? Tosas of B'Shem goes even earlier than Tosas, much earlier. Delvi? Yeah, that's about as early as you can get in post-Talmudic literature, right? What? Maybe the Shiltas, correct. But it's pretty early on. Okay, so this of course is Tosas on in a few places, but among them Tosas on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. All right, Tosas Gimel Amud Aleph, Hiksha Bahag Hatsad Nachash, Hiksha Bahag De Shmuel Ad Shmuel. Right, Hakasavar Shmuel Malach Shein Tzuicha LeGufa Patur, Krab Shimon, Shim Tzara DeGufa Shari, Uperakira Minon Davar Shein Miskavin Savala Krab Shimon Malach Shein Tzuicha LeGufa Savala Krab Yehuda. What's the answer? Yoshua? Tirat Rabbeinu Tam, the Shmuel Kamar Dil Rab Shimon, Damar Malach Shein Tzuicha LeGufa Patur, Bahani Tlas Patur Mutter. Right? I mean, it's, Shmuel is being very liberal. He's discussing not his own position. Right? There's a Musar Haskell in there somewhere. Right? He's not only discussing the position that he agrees to, he's discussing the position that he disputes as well. Lidvar of Kamar. A very attractive answer, Dovi. On a Musar level, yes. Right? Okay. Right, I mean, again, it's a good thing to do, but it's not a good, it's not a satisfying answer in the sugya. Exactly. You know, Vidalei's Breira, it's an answer. But it's nobody's, it's nobody's preferred answer. 100%. So, and in light of the fact that it doesn't work for the Rambam, you just, can't say it for the Rambam because he paskins both sides of it. So in light of the Rambam, it seems that there's got to be another answer out there for Shmuel as well, because whatever's good for the Rambam could be good. You know, what's good for the Rambam is good for Shmuel, as they always say. Right? Okay. So so what is the other answer? So some of the Rishonim already give it. The Rajba, Shittim Kubetzis and Ksuvas has it the name of a few Rishonim. And the Nosei Kalim, some of them on the Rambam and Perek Yud Halacha Yud Zayin as well. What's the general? Well, the truth is you could say it in a more extreme way and bypass this whole discussion. What's the more extreme answer to the question? Ami? Right. I don't know if that's the most extreme answer, but that's the answer that's important for us. And that's the answer that some of the Rishonim give. They say, basically, there's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, whether or not Mapis Mursa, Tzad Nachash, Tzad Tzvi, is Dov Shein Miskaven, or is Malacha Shein Tzvicha Legufa. The Gemara in Kuv Zayin or Beis is a Liba de what? Rav, right? That's because Rav holds what? What does Rav hold, Yoshua? That Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa is Chayiv. Right? Rav. And therefore... No, you're right. The Kuv Zayin Ud Beis holds that... Yeah, I'm sorry, you're correct. Again, Kuv Zayin Ud Beis is Rav. And he holds that Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa is Potter. He also holds that Dover She'enu Miskavein might be Chayiv because he holds like Rav Yehuda. Right? So he doesn't have access, this is the way some Rishonim explain, and this is what Reb Chaim comes up with for the Rambam as well. He doesn't have access to the more basic reason for the Ptur, because he holds like Rav Yehuda, Keneged, Rav Shimon, in Dover Shein Miskavein. But he does have access to Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa, because he holds in that like Rav Shimon. Right, and therefore he presents Mapis Mursa, Tzad Tzvi, Tzad Nachash, as Malach Hashem Tzricha Legufa Chai. As Malach Hashem Tzricha Legufa Pater. However, if you happen to hold like Rav Shimon in Davar She'enu Miskavein, so then you don't need to come on to You could just hold davar sheinu miskaven, which is a much more basic ptur, just say that. And if it so happens that you also happen to paskin against Rav Shimon, right, when it comes to melach sheinu tzricha legufa, so then it all works out almost poetically, right? You have whoever needs access to Ein Tzricha Legufa because he doesn't have access to Ein Miskavein and goes in that direction. That's a Sugin Kozayin Adais. And whoever has access to Shein Miskavein Mutter, it's good that he does because he didn't have the fallback position of Melach Shein Tzricha Legufa Chayim. That's how some of the Rishonim in the Rajva and some of the others quoted in Shitva Kubetzes Ksubis, that's how they suggest to get out of the Bahag's problem. So basically, it's not that Shmuel is telling you Aliba, the Rav. On the contrary, there's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel whether or not the basis for Mapas Mursa is Dover Shenu Miskavein or Melacha She'enu Tzricha Legufa. Now, of course, there's another element. There may be another element in all of this. And that is that there may be a machlokas how to understand the case of Mapas Mursa. And that in two senses. But till now I've said that according to these Rishonim and these Achronim, so basically the argument revolves around what is accessible. If Dav Sheinu Miskavein is accessible, then you're not going to say Melach Sheinu Tzricha Legufa. Because Dav Sheinu Miskavein is a more persuasive, a more far-reaching p'tur than Melach Sheinu Tzricha Legufa is. After all, it's called Torah Kula, not just the Chashabbos. And in general, it's clearly more far-reaching. So if you have access to Einu Miskavein Mutter, you're not going to say Ein Tzricha Legufa. The issue is, do you have access or don't you have access? This is the debate between Rav and Shmuel, and so on. Right? Shmuel holds Einu Miskavein Mutter, Ein Tzricha Legufa, Chayiv. Rav holds exactly the opposite. Rav holds Einu Miskavein Chayiv, and Ein Tzricha Legufa is Patra of Alasar. Okay, good. But there's another possibility. And that is that the debate of how to define Mapas Mursa depends on how you understand Mapas Mursa. Not only Mapas Mursa, Mapas Mursa, Tzad Tzvi, Tzad Nachash. In other words, it isn't just what how you paskin in general, but it is a larger question. What do I mean by that? Okay? Could be that that's a symptom of it, very, very possibly. There's a debate among the Rishonim, 2 days in Rashi, right? Rashi has 2 days on Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, whether or not Mapas Mursa is a problem of Maka the Patish, or, what's the alternative, Jay? Or Bone. Okay, why do you think that that, how does Rambam Paskin? Correct. And the Ravid and the Ramach, Alatar, attack the Rambam on that point. Anybody have the Rambam with them? Open, do you have it, Jay? Perkyun Alokha Yud Zayin. Right, the Rambam says it's Makom Patish, and the other notes of Kalim. Go ahead, Jay. Your design. Oh, very interesting line. Melechas Harofe implies a certain expertise to know how to open up this channel, right? It was right to say. No Ravid there? What's all in Franco? What is it? You have the, is that a Franco or a regular? What? Go ahead. Come, go ahead. Don't have it? Go ahead, Jonah. Right? There's a in the Frankel Rambam he has a Ravid. It's Melechus Bonet. Okay. And the Ramach also, right?
They don't have a Ramach, but it's quoted in the Kesef.
Go ahead.
Because of a Ramach. Tim my Mach and Patash Deva Lunage Gamar Malach of Azul and Farsh Shim Bonet.
Yeah. Now the lack of being Gamar Malach, I hope we'll get to Mach and Patash when we do Malachos, although it's the last one. But I'm not gonna do the I was sick for the weaving demonstration. So I'm assuming everybody was there, and I hold myself to to be absolutely not responsible to describe weaving. You agree?
Oh.
Yeah. Was it good? Nobody went? It was good. Somebody's going to explain to me Shtei Batei Nirin finally? Okay. But we'll pick up, you know, I have to give you a list of Malacha, so we'll do. One of the things I would like to do is Malacha Patash, even though it is the last one, we won't go in order. But there's a huge Machlokas on Rishonim, a huge issue, whether or not Malacha Patash truly is Gemar Malacha, or Gemar Malacha is just a Hechatimtzi, it's an example of what Malacha Patash really is. It's a certain intangible act of stature that is necessary for the, you know, for the Chefza, but not necessarily Gemar Malacha. I think it can be demonstrated that the Yerushalmi holds that way, that the Rambam holds that way, Rashi holds that way. This Ha'ara, the Ramach, the language of the Ramach, is very important here. Again, one more time?
Because he says specifically
Gemar Malacha. Yeah, and then the Rambam, I think in general, does not believe that Makar Patish is Gemar Malacha.
Malacha is Rofe, and how you do it.
Exactly. It's a certain kind of stature and umanus. I once suggested a couple of years back, I think some of the people who might have been here still, when we learned the Beitza. You know, the Gemara has this fascinating Shakavataria in Psachim, Membab, where the Gemara considers that maybe, you know, Muktzah might be Daraisa. So some of the Achronim ask, what do you mean Muktzah would be Daraisa? It sounds like Rashi thinks it would be one of the Avos Malacha. So, you know, what Av Malacha would it be? Would it be 40 Avos Malacha? So, I don't know. It could be that it would be an Isser Klali. Of the type that we spoke of in the very, very beginning of the year. We talk about there being Lamates Avos Malachas that are very specific, and we also talk about there being a general Shem Iser of Shabbos in a more general way, and that maybe it's a possibility that sometimes things are just under the rubric of Losasa Kol Malacha. But I think that this idea of Muktzah or Achshavei, generally, Sugin Beitz and Av Chavzayin, and Rashi and Beitz of Chavzayin, where Rashi says, you know, being... you know, machil, the behema, the, you know, that also is achshavei, even if there's no malacha involved. It could be that these things are general malachos, just shem malachos, or they come to the rubric of makom patish. Maybe that's what makom patish really is. It's the isur klali of Shabbos, a dabar chashuv without a specific tzura. When we get to it, we'll discuss it more fully. But even the possibility that the halacha malach shein tzricha legufa is different as a result in Makom Patish. Makom Patish, as opposed to other malachos, doesn't really have a tzura. Even if you were to find it as a Gemar Malacha. So it's based on what it accomplishes, not on what it looks like. Either way, the comments of the Ramach and the attack of the Rambam is very important. But the Rambam Shita is that Mapis Mursa is Makom Patish. So Jay was suggesting that whether or not Makom Patish is Mapas Mursa is Makom Patish, or Mapas Mursa is Bona, that Gufa may have something to do with the question of Loch Shein Tzricha LeGufa or Dover Shein Miskaving, correct? How so?
The Magen Mishnah says if you're doing it via Motzi Lach, then it's not Gemar Malacha.
Okay, as opposed to if it was Bona?
Yeah, it still might be
a... It might be that it is a Pesach, even though you're not interested in it for Lahotzi Lahachnis. Okay. That's very possible. Another way to say it would be something along the lines of what I just said, which is that the role of Tachlis HaMalacha may be different in Makom Patish than it is in other Malachos. So that what looks like Malach Shein Tzricha LeGufa generally may end up being Eino Miskaven in Makom Patish. That's what Jay was saying is different. What Jay was saying was the specific definition of Makom Patish as opposed to Bona may determine whether or not this is Ein Tzricha LeGufa or Ein Miskaving. What I'm suggesting is a little different. That is that the nature of Makom Patish is such that in general the line between Ein Miskaving and Ein Tzricha LeGufa may very much be blurred. In order to understand any of this, let me just take a step back. A part of what we're discussing today in three different versions of it. Right. One is, again, the Gemara in Membe, Samad Aleph, and in Zvachim. The second is the Gemara in Krisos. And the third is these cases, the opposite cases, in Tzricha LeGufa cases, which may really be in the Skavin cases. Mapas Mursa, Tzad Nachash, Tzad Tzvi. What we're really talking about in all three cases is the relationship between Ein Miskaven and Ein Tzricha L'Gufa. So just technically, we need to know what the difference is. Why is there not a complete overlap between those two things? So indeed, why is there not? Daniel? Why not? What is the difference between Ein Tzricha L'Gufa and Ein Miskaven?
Well, according to I think the Ritva says that
but yeah, and this is basically the basic definition. The basic chiluk is accepted, I think, by all the Rishonim. The application of it to specific cases is much more controversial. This is what the Rajba says. In on Kuf Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph. What's the problem with the Rajma? No one? You need this on the Marmakomos for this reason. What is the problem with the Rajma deals with on Kuf Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph? What's the case there? What is the case of Kuf Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph? Well, we just can tell by the fact, by where it is, you know what the case is. Even if you didn't know, Jeremy. What? What did you say? Kuf Lamed Gimel. I didn't say Kuf Chav Gimel would be a whole different can of worms. That would be a mukta problem. What? Exactly. Kuf Lamed Gimel is going to be Ketzitzas Baher. That's from Perek HaBloza Demila. Right? So what is the Rajba bothered by? Why is Ketzitzas Baheres? Why is that a davar? Why is that considered a davar? If you're doing Mila, and as a result of the Mila, your coat says, the Baharas, what? So why is that Dovr Shedim Miskaven? You're a Miskaven to do the Chaticha, to do the Ketzitza. Right? That's the Rajba's question. What's the Rajba's answer? Tamili. Manda Masna Lahid Rab Yoshia. My correlate Dovr Shedim Miskaven. The Miskaven LaKetzitza, Ela Shedim Miskaven LaTaher, Ela LaMul. Right? Meaning, his motivation and his objective are not the Isser. But the Maisa that he's doing, his Kavanas HaMaisa is to do the action that he's doing. So what's the Rajma asking? Why isn't this a Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa? Why is it, and the Gemara characterizes it as, Davar she'eino miskaven. So this is one of those places where the Rishonim, implicitly project the difference between them. Kavana lemaisa is a davar miskaven. Beli kavana letachlis, that's ein tzricha l'gufa. Beli kavana samaisa, that is davar she'eino miskaven. What's the answer? So you can imagine, if this is the agreed upon rule, but the application is not going to be so simple. There's a lot that you're going to be able to extract from the application of this principle. Why? To make it easy. One man's kavanas atachlis may be another man's kavanas amalacha. In some cases, it's really obvious that the two are completely distinct. In other cases, it very much depends on how you formulate the issue and the malacha in question. So in a sense, that's what the Rajba struggles with and is mechadesh something important about the nature of Isser Ketzitzas Baheres. See, what does he say?
He says that the definition of Ketzitzas Baheres is not the act of Ketzitza, but rather the goal of being Mitaher without going by the Kohen.
Right, there's a lumdus in there about Ketzitzas Baheres. Right? Exactly, very well said. Ein zeh kori davar sheinu miskaven, ela malach sheinu tzricha l'gufa. Halamaza davar dome, limechabeg achela shel eitz. That's the initial question. Lo machleshut tzarich legufa shel kibui, kadei shel azuka barabim, v'karle malach shenet tzricha legufa, v'lo davar shenet miskaven, kadisa v'perakira, yishlomar di'ikas of rachmana v'feirush. This is interesting too. The Rajma basically says, this subtle question of how to define the lumbus of ketzitzas baheres depends on Torah Shebichsav, or at least the clue is in Torah Shebichsav. If Torah Shebichsav had accented Ketzitza, then Inochanami, Kitzitzas Mila, Kitzitzas Baheres, would be a difference in Tachlis, not a difference in Maisa. The Ikos of Rachmana, the Feirush, can add this to our growing list of the role of Torah Shebichsav in Lamdas. Ikos of Rachmana, the Feirush, he's Shamer, Benega Hatzaras, Shalotakutz. This is a great Rajba. Hachanami. Then we would have said that the purpose of Kitzitzas Mila and not Kitzitzas Baheres is a difference of Eidetz Reich on the Gufa. Ella, but the Torah doesn't say that. It omits any reference to Kitzitza. It really says, Kishomer Benega Tzaras, Kosav Rachmana, Klomar, Shelo Yitaharenu Ola Bahoraz Kohen. Meaning the focus isn't the Maisa as much as it is the purpose. Vananu Darmina and the Kivin Shekain also Lakutz Baheres. All things being equal, when there's no other definition or pressure, there's no competing value or competing identification, so then Kitzitzas Baheres comes under the, it's only meaningful for one reason, it comes under the rubric of Taharas HaBaheres. But, since that's not part of its definition, when there is a competing value, so the competing value doesn't end up being competing in Tachlis, it ends up being competing in Maisa as well. The Hilka Kishazek Kotzeitz L'Shem Mila Havle Dover Shein Miskavin Eitzel Tahara. This is very important. So the Rajba basically tells us two things. Number one, that the criterion of Eina Miskavin Eitzrich L'Gufa is Kavana L'Balacha or Kavana L'Taklis. Very important yisod of the Rajba. And number two, that Torah Shebichsav can play a role, other things can play a role. Sometimes, how you define the Maisa and how you define the Tachlis is very, very subtle. Very subtle indeed. Okay, now, if that's the truth, if that's true, so we should note that this idea is elsewhere. You mentioned the, who mentioned the Ritzvah? Did you mention it? Yeah, which Ritzvah? Exactly. On Mem Beis Amud Aleph, the Ritva, very good, has the same definition. Right? Ritva says, we'll get back to the rest of it later, but because of the Mikara Mai Karale, La Akshuye Midav Shein Malachu Shein Tzricha LeGufa. A time of the Palgin Minhu. These are two different issues. The Ilu Davar Sheinu Miskavin LeMalacha Isur Klal. Ube Meleches Heter Hu Asuk. Number one, it's a Din Klali. And number two, it's a the issue is that you have no Kavana LeMaisa. You're involved in Meleches Heter Hu Asuk. Again, the language of Mesasek, of course. The Efshar Nami, the law of the Isur HaKlal. Number one, it's a Safek. And number two, there's no Kavana, Lamaisa. Lamaisa Isur. Bila Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa, Miskavinu Lasis Osa Malacha Mamish, Bi Osa Osa, Ela, Shein Kavanasa Lasis Osa Latzarka, Ulosa Davar Shebishu Lanikor Malacha B'mishkan. Okay, we'll have to see the answer. But again, in the formulation of why this is a difficult Hava, even a difficult Hava Mina, the Ritva again spells out this distinction of Kavana Lamaisa and Kavana Le Tachlis. In similar vein, the Nosek Kalim and the Rambam in Perek Aleph, what is it, Halacha Vav, quote this in the name of Rabbi Avram, Ben-Aram, who has it? Open, the Rambam. Right, they quote this in the name of Rabbi Avram ben Arambam, B'Shem HaRambam. Yona, you have it? I think so. They're talking about Psikresha, but it's the same idea. What they mean is Davar Shein Miskavin Malach Shein Tzricha LeGufa, even though they talk about Psikresha. Again, the same distinction. They ask, what's the difference between a Psikresha and a Malach Shein Tzricha LeGufa? Aleph Hei, Aleph Vav, in the beginning there. Al Zayin. Okay.
I have appreciation in the Lakshin Kisha Gufo in Sikh Ratio, but we almost, we've got with Sikh Ratio, Ain't a Rechadon in the Lakha Kolikar, but she now says to have her, don't only start her present face, so Reishan Tzvi, Shu Lo Kiyum Shemir Sa Tzvi, El Shem Lo Avanas Yitzchak, Un Lo Shem Tzvi Lo Gufa, Un Miskam Lo Gufa Mo Ava, El Shem Mechav Un Tachvisa.
Who's he quoting?
He's sort of Avram Mechassid, the Shem of it.
Yes, this is Rabbi Brahman Rambam in the name in the name of his father. Okay, and this is an accurate one. Okay. Also, you have the Magad Mishnah, right, later on. Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Zayin, go ahead.
And Malchus Mursa. He answered that it was because of, related to the Makar Papish point.
Okay. Read that too, go ahead, Yishomar.
The nearly the territory is that Sharavim is also a Shchin Halecha. I'm not sure what you're referring to. Shashanu Hadam Rehuda Marav Al Mishnah So Al Mishnah Senu Da'atzad Shelo Letzorek Aval Enach Afilu Rabbi Yehuda Aser Eid Al Zed Shmuel Amar Bahanu Pater Umlete Yehuda the Pasuk Review the Kosh Kosh Perek Risho Matan Shal Pasuk Samor Tzor Amar Halacha Keshul Harchiv Piyamak Shelo Vidivir Rosh Zal Shkasa Mishum Bonin Keshu lahotzi u'mena lecha ena gemar malacha v'yasha lavo ba chiyuv makin patash shu gemar malacha b'shum pan v'tzeins v'chein tzeidah sanachash she'enu tzad kedarko el nasasek ba k'mo she'is bar lamata and then he has the from the Sefer Abatim.
Correct, that's another one.
Yerali she'en zem malacha she'en tzirich lagufa ki malacha she'en tzirich lagufa lo sa malacha ba'atmo v'kavach Alvarim Elu and Kamenotzel in the Law of Shekol Kamenotzel who lahotzi lecha uli
notzah. Okay, so we have the Sefer Batim is, by the way, one of the Rishonim. Okay, Rav David Kochavi. Right, not a household name, but maybe you should Sefer Batim. Maybe you should become a household name. Rav David Kochavi. He wrote a Perush on the Rambam called Sefer Batim. Sometimes there's some, rarely, but sometimes there's some innovative things there. The Rabbi Blau, not ours, but the Red Books, Rabbi Blau put out some of them, and I think recently they came out in more critical edition, another critical edition, I should say. Okay. The Sefer Batim, Rabbi Avram Ben Arambam, the Rajva, the Ritva, the Achronim, this is the generally agreed upon distinction between Darvashen and Miskaven and Malachshen and Tzrika Legufa. But you can already see, as I said, that sometimes the determination, whether we're dealing with lack of kavanah sabalacha or lack of kavanah satachlis, is very, very subtle and depends on how you understand the shem malacha itself. So getting back to it, in the case of Mappas Mursa, it could be, this is what Jay was saying, right, that gufa, this is what some of the Kehle was saying, the question whether or not we're dealing with makom patish or we're dealing with boneh, they determine whether or not there is kavanas hamaisa but no kavanas hatachlis, or there's not even kavanas hamaisa at all. Just the mechanics of makom patish versus boneh, they determine that issue. In which case, the Rambam, who says makom patish, could be l'shitaso. Right? The Rambam therefore believes that this is a dov shenu miskavein problem. It's hard to know which one caused the other. This is a dov shenu miskavein problem. Namely, if he's interested lahotzi asalecha and not, latikun hamaka, so it isn't makom patish, it's eino miskavein. Whereas had it been bona means asiyas pesach. So if you make a pesach l'shem, lahotzi or lahachnis, or you make a pesach only lahotzi, that's a question of why you're making a pesach. That you're making a pesach, that's a davar pashut. That either way you're doing, so it's a davar miskavein. So gufa. Whether you hold like the Enem Eskavin or the Enem Tzrika L'Gufa depends on which Malach. That's what Jay was suggesting, correct? However, what I suggested before may be true as well. Namely, in addition to that, as I said, there are some Malachos where it's by definition, the line, not only is it difficult to figure out in the Tzura Samalacha, what is the Maisa and what is the Tachlis. In some cases, the tachlis becomes part of the definition of the maisa. And that may be particularly true for makom patish, for the reasons that we discussed before. In other words, it isn't just that you know, the making of the channel now is Ein Tzorech, you know, Leguf. Is Ein Tzorech Legufo, but it is a Davar HaMitzvah. Ein Tzorech Kavana, not just Ein Tzorech Legufo. But rather, even if we were to acknowledge that the problem here is in terms of the Tachlis, we might say that a Tachlis problem in Makkah B'Pachesh, at least according to some, is always a Maisa problem. Because the definition of Makkah B'Pachesh never depends on the Tzura, the objective Tzura Samalacha, it always depends on the Tachlis Samalacha. That's what Makkah B'Pachesh is. So that would have the same effect, it would be a different explanation. But the truth is that the Rambam needs to explain not only Mappas Morsa, but Sad Nachash and Sad Tzvi. So here again, let me take it one step further. As I just said, in some halachos, the Tachlis may enter into the Maisa. Now in the case of Makkah B'Pachesh, that's built in because of the nature of what Makkah B'Pachesh is, in the sense that it doesn't have a Tzura. That's not true for Tzad, Nachash, Tzad, Tzvi. But Tzad, Nachash, Tzad, Tzvi could be a particularly good case of this anyway, and that's what some of the Nos Kalim are struggling to say, for a different reason. The question is, how do you define those malachos? And we'll speak much more about it later on. Is Tzad about containment, restriction of movement? Or is Tzad about hunting? I mentioned this in the past. Is there an aggressive connotation in the definition of Tzad? If it's defensive, so what are you going to say? If you say like this, the Shem Malacha is containment, restriction of movement. That's how we define Tzad. Why are you restricting this poor animal's movement? It could be because you're a nasty, a sadistic person, you know, who enjoys the plight of poor animals, or it could be because you have a healthy sense of self-preservation and you don't want to be bitten by this poisonous snake. Both of those things have to do with motivation, an admirable motivation, an absolutely despicable one, but both motivations. However, if I say that Sud is not containment and restriction of movement, but Sud is hunting, which is the way it's sometimes translated. Now, hunting has a voluntary, volitional connotation, and it has an aggressive connotation. You don't hunt an animal for purposes of self-preservation. You might say that you are, but then you wouldn't call it hunting. You might contain an animal for purposes of self-preservation. Hunting has a different connotation. You hunt for sport. You hunt because you want to become a zookeeper rather than a conservation preservation society owner, right? For those reasons you hunt. If you want to be a conservation person, you don't hunt, you preserve, right? Yeah, your whole orientation is different. You do it, you know, with a scowl instead of a smile, and your tactics are going to be different, and so on and so forth. The point is, if Tzad is about aggressive volitional hunting, so if I contain an animal so that it, again, out of healthy self-preservation, is that a comment on my tachlis, or is that a comment on my maisa? Is it sad anymore? So could be that's good for the issue. If you hold that sad is containment, so then sad svi shelo yazikenu is simply. Is simply a difference in tachlis hamalacha, and it's malach shen tzvicha legufa, and then it depends, chai v'patra. But if tzad means aggressive, volitional, and so on, so then l'shem shelo yishchenu is not a malacha. Now, I could even go further with this and say it's not even davar shenu mitzkavein. There's simply no shem malacha at all. I'm not doing anything. Or maybe I don't go that far. Maybe I could acknowledge that, you know, this shares much in common with the classic tzad, I think that's already a question of, you know, of degree. You know, how far am I going to say this? Am I going to say it's no shame malacha at all, or it is a shame malacha, but there's no kavana l'malacha? That I think is an open question. But if I hold that way, so then we understand very well why this is either no shame malach at all, in which case it's mutter legamri because he didn't do any iser. Nothing to do with mishum tsar, hikilu, and so on. No, no, the Rambam doesn't say that. Right? This is innocent mitchila v'yad sof, and hunting is never innocent. This is imposed from without. Hunting is never imposed from without. So either there's no shame malacha, or there's a shame malacha, but it's no shame miskavet. Either way, the point is that this would qualify for heter, even according to the Rambam, it would not fall under the rubric of malach shein tzricha legufa. The Netziv, in that parish on the Shiltos, on Kuf Hei, Os Hei, has a huge piece also to try to explain the connection to machat shel yad. And he too struggles with this idea, and basically says that there are different perspectives as to what matas mursa is, and whether it's derech refuah, and so on. He says, and depending on how you understand what matas mursa is, what the nature of it is, that will determine whether or not it's davar shein miskaven or malach shein tzricha legufa. Okay. This idea, of course, is an approach of the Rambam on these cases, matas mursa. So again, according to what we're saying now, the issue of whether you define them as ein miskaven or ein tzricha legufa isn't only a question of what you have accessible in terms of your psag. It's also a question of how you define the shame malacha in the distinction between ein miskaven and ein tzricha legufa that applies generally across the board. That's very important. Now this, of course, for the Rambam, these three cases are crucial. There are a few other cases in the Rambam as well, where the Rambam seems to paskin mutter, and Narsa Kalim point out that according to Medina de Gemara, we're talking about cases of Ein Tzricha Legufa, which according to the Rambam should have been Chai. But not only for the Rambam, this applies to some other Rishonim. The Sugan Ein Gim Lamed Beis, which hopefully we'll get to soon. Zomer Vitzarech Le'etzim Chayet Shtayim Achas Mishum Zareya Achas Mishum Kotzer. Right, so you have the Tosas there. Tosas says, is that Gemara that says that Zomer, in order to be chayiv mishum kotzer, has to be tzorech leitzin? Is that Gemara only aliba to Rabbi Shimon, or even aliba to Rabbi Yehuda? Tosa says the tzorech leitzin, ayin gimel on the base, nira da filo le Rabbi Yehuda, to mechayiv malach shein tzricha legufa, beinan tzorech leitzin. De lo mikri beitzim kotzer, ela beinan zeh. In other words, what it's supposed to say, the requirement of katsira l'shem mishtamshus is part of the shame malacha of kotzer. It's not a din of malacha shem tzricha legufa. The Tosas Rid disagrees. Tosas Rid here says this sugya is dafka libid Rav Shimon, not a libid Rav Yehuda. Tosas goes on and says midi dahave akoreya Amanas litvar umochek amanas lichto. Kedav Rabbi Yochanan lekaman perik achavis echad kavashim echad shalakos hasachto legufan mutter lemeim chayev chatos amai shari legufan lehavik malach shen tzricha legufa ela tamash ein derech disha bekach. So number one, Tosa says again, you could argue about any of these specific points and Rishonim do, but Tosa's first point is when the Mishnah says amanas amanas, so that's not only aliba to Rabbi Shimon. And it's not only because of the issue of Mekalkel and Metakein. It's also because the Shem Malacha is defined this way. What does that mean? What it means is that Mochek, Amanas Lichtov, it's, the Malacha isn't really, according to this perspective, the Malacha is not Mochek. The Malacha is Hechshek Siva. Korei Amanas Litvor. The Malacha is not Kriya. The Malacha is Hechshek Tvira. So then by definition, if it isn't almanas, you're lacking not in the tachos amalacha. You're lacking in the maisa. This is a very critical yisod in all Hifl Shabbos. In Kol Torah Kula, actually. But it, this is how it plays out as a big, big issue, because in Shabbos, since you have malach shein tzricha legufa and davar shein miskaven, so it becomes a litmus test for this idea, of this the subtlety of this distinction. So by the same token, that's his pshat in Disha. We already have this in Disha in the Psik Reisha Sugya. Right, Tosas in Ksuvis, and Tosas later on, Kufyud, Musuch Raisa, then Azaisa. Some Rishonim say, Disha L'shem Ibud, if you're dosh something, and you let it fall to the ground, let's say you milk the cow and you don't catch the milk. Just let it you know, get absorbed into the ground. So that's disha le'ibud. So is that dependent on Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda? Or is that part of the shame definition, shame malacha of disha, is that it cannot be l'shem le'ibud? It's got to be l'tzora. If it's not for the purpose of accessing, it's not disha. So in some cases, this is the distinction between a shame malacha and a non-shame malacha. In other cases, it's the distinction between davar shein miskaven and malacha shein atzricha le gufa. Okay. So one perspective then on some of the cases that look like tzricha le gufa, but cannot be for the Rambam at least, and for some others, has to do with the specifics of the particular malacha. What is its subtle shame malacha? Does the tachlis enter into it? It's not always a question of the integration of the tachlis into the maisa. In some cases, it's another question, like we were discussing, makom patish and bonet. In some cases, it's not about the tachlis. It's just a question of what is the nature of the tsuras hamalacha. As I said, like aggressiveness, being an act of will in the case of tzad. That's not about tachlis so much. Per se, as it is in Makom Patish. Okay. There could be different reasons why this is a very subtle point. But that explains a whole group of sugyas, of issues, about the overlap between Ein Tzricha L'Gufa and Ein Miskaven. It's not because, per se, Ein Tzricha L'Gufa and Ein Miskaven are similar problems, or on the same continuum even. It all has to do with a clear understanding of what differentiates them, along the lines of the Rajva, the Ritva, Rabbi Avraham ben Rambam, Sefer HaBatim, and so on. And yet, a discussion about each and every one of these malachos, what makes a tick, what is really, what is defining in each case. Okay, but that's not necessarily going to help us. So that'll help us with the Matas Mursa type cases. Will that help us with Krisus Daf Chaf and Shabbos Mem Beis and Zvachim Tzali Beis? No. Because there it appears that the issue does not revolve around interpretation or understanding of the processes, and then they, you know, willy-nilly fall into either, you know, the category of Ein Miskaven or Ein Tzricha L'Gufa. Rather, in those two cases, in the first two issues, it sounds like the discussion is whether or not these categories are overlapping or not. Okay. So let's discuss that. So on the middle case first. We already made reference the other day. Right, the Gemara in Krisus. So according to what I was arguing in the Rambam, maybe the whole problem doesn't exist. If Rabbi Yehuda says what he says, if Rabbi Yehuda holds that Dov Shein and Miskaven is Asur, even in Hilchos Shabbos, like the Ramban and the Ritva, and I was suggesting maybe even the Rambam, you can read the Gemara in Krisus with no problems. Fine. But if you hold the other way, and the Gemara in Krisus is a problem, so we had two suggestions. One is, Ein Miskaven is retained even though Psik Reisha Delo Michalei, that we discussed a little bit yesterday, we'll get back to it. Or the suggestion of Bali Tosas of Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. Then there was some question Jonathan raised it originally, and then Yaakov followed up on it a little bit. What do the Bali Tosas really mean when they say that Krisus of Chafam and Aleph, which is called Ein Miskaven, is really Ein Tzricha L'Gufa? What do they mean by that? So the truth is, I was looking at it again, I think it maybe depends on the formulation. I think I said it at the time already. It may depend on the formulation of different Rishonim. If you look at the Bali Tosas in Shabbos, on the one in Kira, Mem Aleph Amud Beis, so what impression do you get here? Simcha. This might be the least clear one. Let's Tosa say what they say. They start off saying what they say. But the Gemara calls Eina Miskaven is really an issue of Ein Tzricha Legufa. But then, as Jonathan pointed out, as Yaakov pointed out, then Bali Tosas, they too are bothered. This is very dochek. Why call something Eina Miskaven if it really is Ein Tzricha Legufa? Especially since the very next Gemara, in Krisus, is not shy about labeling the next case Ein Tzricha Legufa. Right? So here, Tosas formulation is, anybody have it? Tosas formulation here on Shabbos, Mem Aleph on the base, is a little bit ambiguous. The kasha, the perek safek achal, who has it? Simcha? Yeah, go ahead. This is the question. Dabagav the Habat Sigresha, comma. Okay, so he hasn't said one thing that's ambiguous, which I think is what Jonathan meant and Yaakov meant as well. This Tosis does not say explicitly that we're dealing with a Dabra Miskaven. Right? What he does say is that it's a Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa. But he doesn't say that it's a Dabra Miskaven. Yet. He doesn't say it. Okay, keep going. This is the $64,000 question, meaning why formulate something in an inaccurate way, right, when it really is in a tzricha legufa? Okay. Yeah. What's not clear in this Tosas, again, the different formulations are very, very important for the range. What's not perfectly clear in this Tosas is whether or not Psik Resha, in this case, turns into a Dabra Miskaven or not. Bali Tosas in general. Well, the question is, when he uses the word Eino Miskaven here, does he mean it in a practical way, or does he also mean it in a legal way? Meaning, it's true that the guy is not Miskaven. Lemaisa, if I was describing his state of mind, right? I would say he has no kavana to do this. That Tosas says very clearly. But if you ask Tosas here whether or not this is a davar she'eino miskaven al pidin, I'm not so sure what he would say. Yeah. So the chiddush. What do you mean the chiddush? No, so he's saying the chiddush is that one would have thought that a malacha shena tzricha legufa is only going to be, according to Rav Shimon, is only patur in. I'm sorry. One would have thought that you should only be chayev for malacha shena tzricha legufa when you're miskaven. This is what Tosas is saying. Kamash Malan, even when you're Eino Miskaven, that's in the Rabusa, even when you're Eino Miskaven, you're still going to be Chayiv for a Malacha She'eino Tzricha Legufa. The only question I'm not sure about, this is, I think, the most unclear of the Tosasin. We'll see the others in just a second. So if Tosas really means to say, Afal Pi, Shazeh psik resha. Zen nishar al pidin. Dover sheinu miskavein. If that's what Tosis means. So then, what I said the other day probably doesn't apply to this Tosis. I mean, the big chiddush of Tosis isn't so much that Eino Miskavein and Ein Tzricha L'Gufa are connected, as much as it is that Ein Tzricha L'Gufa be'Eino Miskavein is chayev according to Rabbi Yehuda. There's still an element of chiddush in what Al Pidin is an Eino Miskavein case, which justifies the language of Eino Miskavein. Do you want to say differently? That's not Miskavein, according to this Tosis.
And the whole reason why the Gemara, meaning, because he's struggling with the reason why the Gemara chooses the Lashon of Dovashin Miskavein.
Right. Right, the answer is, even though it's a psik resha, it is still Eino Miskavein, and the Chiddush is... See, even then, at minimum, Tosis is I still think it's important that this is Lashon Tzricha L'Gufa. That's what he's saying is, had it not been for the Eino Tzricha L'Gufa part, per se, right, we wouldn't have this discussion between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, because it's true that in Ilkos Shabbos, Eino Miskavein, even a leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, is... It's got to be because Ein Tzricha L'Gufa is Chayit. He needs that element. All I'm saying is, and this I think I agree with what you were both trying to say the other day, and that is in this Tosis at least, it's not clear that Al Pidin, it's not clear to me one way or another. I don't think it's clear that Eino Miskavein is retained, but it's certainly not clear to me, which is what I was saying the other day, that Eino Miskavein is neutralized by the creation. In which case, if it retains even some shemets of Eino Miskavein, so the linguistic justification is there, even if there isn't a broader link between Eino Miskavein and Ein Tzricha L'Gufa, which is what I was after. That's true for this Tosis. If you look at Tosis in, I think there are three levels here. If you look at Tosis in Yuma has this too, but it's perfectly clear, you have it, Simcha? In Yuma, it's perfectly clear that this is meant as a level in, I don't want people to miss the buses. I guess we'll stop here. Let me just, give me, well, actually 30 seconds. Are they still? I don't want people who want to go to I'm going by car, so it's not a problem for me. I want everybody else to miss it. Is it still there? Okay, so give me just one more. You know what? Okay, we'll pick up with this. If you look carefully at Tosis and Yuma, I'll just tell you what I think he says. You'll look at it, and then we'll look at it next time. In Tosis and Yuma, Tosis makes it very, very clear that psik resha is considered a davar hamiskavein in this context. He also says, l'rabusa nakat, that even though it looks like he really isn't miskavein, that he means on clearly in Tosin Yuma on a lamaisa level. He's not miskavein, and yet b'loch shen tzricha l'gufa is going to be chayv. But he makes it very clear before that, that al pidin, this is a davar hamiskavein, in which case, the conclusion that, forgetting why the Gemara uses the phrase or doesn't use the phrase, it's inescapable that this is only Al Pidin, and yet it's called Eino Miskavein, unless you want to say a complete abdication of precision, legal precision, is that this is something that overlaps. That's even more explicit in the third case, and that's increases. Tosis Increases has two deos. But the first day of Tosis Increases is, yeah, you're right, this really is M'loch Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, and he's calling it Eino Miskavein. I don't know why he does that. Kach Nakat. Now, if we take that view of Tosis Increases, and what I'm reading in Tosin Yuma, I'm not sure about Tosin Shabbos. So then, willy-nilly, the Gemara calls an Ein Tzricha L'Gufa case Eino Miskavein. And I think that would not make sense if we didn't believe that there was at least some sort of conceptual overlap or continuum between the problems of Ein Tzricha L'Gufa and Ein Miskavein. That goes back to the Hava Mina, that we still have to go and look at the Rajba, Ritva, Tosas in Zvachim, Tosas in Shabbos, and Ravya, what that Hava Mina was. Okay, so we'll finish with this and the next things. Here's Hashem on Thursday.
according to this idea,